I think that we still need community support for the cases that are coming out. George Galloway's case shows that there is a real serious problem with Canadian law. In 1992, the government passed a law that said you're inadmissible to Canada if you were a member of a terrorist organization. You don't have to be a member because the courts interpreted members so broadly. And it's only with George Galloway's case that they narrowed it and said, you know, come on, you've gone too far. He's not a member of Hamas. But with this membership clause that denies people landing in Canada, refugees who live here who are not being deported because they have some association with the LTT, they may have lived in an area controlled by the LTT, or they supported the PLO in some way, or they supported the Kurdish liberation struggle, what they've done with this law is criminalize dissent. They have made it so that there are huge numbers in all of those racialized communities that are being denied landing and that face deportation to torture merely because of association with a popularly based movement in their country that engaged in violence. That's the provision they used on George Galloway, and that's why I say they went too far. You don't pick a British MP and say he was a member of Hamas, but he was a member of the Socialist Party.
It's not, to paraphrase Mr. Churchill, just the end of the beginning, it's the beginning of the end of the world. This judicial thrashing to which Mr. Kenny has been subjected by the Honourable Judge will inevitably form a substantial part of what I have to say, not least because, well, I have to go to the airport relatively soon. I'll have to come back to Canada for a long tour from Vancouver to Calgary to Yellowknife. And soon, and just like the book which they try to ban, which always goes to the top of the bestsellers list, we're going to pack them in from coast to coast to coast in Canada. But first I want to say something about Jenny and her husband. Jason Kenny said that a man who fought in the front line in a war, who realized that that war was immoral, was wrong, and who stood up and refused to fight it any longer, Jason Kenny called him a coward. Of Democrats. democratic life, parliamentary life, must be that in public discourse, at least, you cannot tell lies. And when you're found to have told lies, you must resign. Stephen Harper continued to have in his cabinet a man who across 60 pages of a High Court judge's findings is revealed as a liar and a deceiver and a cheat on the Canadian public. We don't have time to adumbrate all of the lies. Let's deal just with the first. He said the decision to ban me from Canada was taken by the Immigration Service. The documents in the case prove the decision was taken in his office and the order was given to the Immigration Service by him. He said that I was a terrorist and a security risk, leaving aside the surreal idea that I could sit for almost a quarter of a century in the British Parliament without Mr. Speaker realizing to the British Parliament without their constituents in three different constituencies in two parts of the United Kingdom ever realizing that behind this parliamentary facade, this man who was regularly chosen as the parliamentary debater of the year was in fact a dastardly terrorist. This absurd idea, we discovered by chance, by the grace of God, if you're a believer, that the Canadian Security Services told Jason Kenney 18 months ago when they were asked that I was not a terrorist and I was not a threat to Canadian national security, and they were completely ignored by the deceiver. Jason Kenney. What's the point of having a security service? It's when they tell you someone is not a terrorist, not a threat to national security, you go on television and say the opposite whilst concealing from the public the fact that the security services said the very opposite. They slandered me. First of all, and in breach of Canada's Privacy Act, they revealed to Rupert Murdoch's Sun newspaper, the dirtiest of all his tabloids, and believe me, there's a lot of competition for that. I woke up to read on the front page of the Sun, as I was packing my suitcase, that I was banned from Canada before any official of the Canadian government or the High Commission in London had even begun to try to contact me to communicate this decision. That's the first breach of the law, but it's not the last. And Mr. Kenney's actions, in the face of all the evidence, knowing, as they must have, that this saga could only have one ending, have spent a fortune of the Canadian people's taxes in defending the indefensible. And I have bad news for you, as Canadian taxpayers.
General.
I intend to seek redress. And any redress I win, I will spend it on building a massive anti-war movement here in Canada. Mr. Kennedy. Called the law on unintended consequences. Let me make this clear. I am not, nor have I ever been, a terrorist or a supporter of terrorism or any kind of security threat to Canada. But I think I am a threat to Jason Kenney's political career. I told him he would rue the day that he started lying about me. He started lying about me. I'm never going to stop telling the truth about him.
Any time in all history.
supporter of Hamas. I am not a supporter of Hamas. If I was a supporter of Hamas, surely people know me well enough by now. If I was, I would tell you that I was. I am not, nor have I ever been, a supporter of Hamas. But I am a supporter of democracy. And choose the leadership of the Palestinian people and the Palestinian people themselves. And so we will continue to break this siege until it is ended, because this siege is described by virtually every government in the world except your own. It is extraordinary that the President of the United States can describe this blockade as illegal, unsustainable, that it must end, that it's intolerable, unacceptable, that the British Prime Minister, a conservative Prime Minister, can, as he did in Turkey a couple of weeks ago, describe Gaza as an open-air prison camp. The only country in the world, and I mean the only one, which continues to be ready to be a trumpet for the most extreme Israeli politicians that we've ever seen, is the government of Canada. From a country that was once admired, respected, even loved in the world, to being no more than an embassy for Benjamin Netanyahu. That's bad for Canada, but it's also bad for the Middle East. And so, it falls to us to redouble our efforts here in this country to persuade people that not only is it wrong, not only is it a crime to support the starvation of the people of Gaza, it is a blunder to do so. Have they never asked themselves why radical Islamist organizations are becoming stronger in Palestine, in Egypt, in every part of the Muslim world? Can they understand that it's the double standards and the injustice visited by Western countries on the Muslim world?
I think this Canadian newspaper is only an apology. Yeah.
they think you're fools. That they can tell you on Wednesday that Galloway lost, knowing as they must have done that Galloway would be at the airport on Saturday. They took you for fools. Let's focus now, if we may, on what has to be done.
Give it a speed at half or is it dictator?
Embargo. unable to export anything at all, unable to import even mayonnaise until the 2nd of June.
Gee.
But in any case, nobody's got any money to buy ketchup or mayonnaise. 80% of them living, as I said, on a dollar a day. But that's just Gaza. What about Jerusalem? The holy city of Jerusalem being ethnically cleansed of its half Christian and Muslim population, their houses demolished, being replaced by absolutely illegal settlements. The next time you hear reference to, as I heard on Canadian television this morning, Jewish housing units, they're not Jewish housing units, and the fact that they're Jewish is the least important thing. They're illegal colonies, illegal settlements on something else.
Or color. How could you imagine that
somebody like me, or my friends, hated Jews. How could we hate Jews? How could anybody hate the titanic genius of Karl Marx? the legal and moral, inalienable, everlasting right to return to their land and their home. The settlers in South Africa recognized the right to own the world after the release of Mandela from prison. They came to him and they asked for a little piece of the country, the Orange Free State. They said, let us have this Orange Free State as a white country. Mandela said, we don't believe in white countries or black